Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Hi there. You are listening to the Give Me the Joy Show with me, Lynn Horde. Tune in every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio, where I share very practical, grounded, and not to mention fun ways to reconnect with joy in your life, your work, and your relationships. What does Give Me the Joy make you feel? Do you believe you're meant to live with more joy, but you're just not sure how to go about it? I can help. I'm Lynn Horde, the Joy Coach, founder of Joy School and the Joy at Work programs. Join me as I take you on a journey to peel back the layers so you can take back your joy. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Gimme the Joy Show. It's Lynn Horde here, your host for today, and I'm super excited, as always, because we're getting to talk about something that is very close to my heart, and that is how to reignite the spark in your relationships. I say it that way, but what I'm really talking about is how do we get more joy in there? One of the things I hear a lot about, and it doesn't really matter what people come to me for, but there's always a question around relationships. And to be honest, like that's very normal because, you know, we spend our lives relating to people, don't we? But I often hear things like, you know, is clients saying to me that they feel, you know, disconnected from their partner perhaps, you know, that they've lost the intimacy maybe that they used to have, they're not having as much fun as they used to in the early days, you know, and the kind of a general sense of, you know, I feel a bit distance from my partner rather than closeness. So in the first part of this show here, what I want to talk about is, you know, how do we reconnect or rekindle or re-fire up those kind of fuzzy feelings, as I call them? How do we bring back, you know, the juicy, the love, the flow, the sense of connection with our partner? And, you know, I mean, one of the things I often wonder about and I come across, and you might be, is kind of two camps. Like there are people out there who totally understand it. You know, when it comes to relationships, it's something you've got to keep reinvesting in. So I don't want to say work because we're talking about relationships. So it's something we need to kind of keep reinvesting our time and our energy in. And I think sometimes along the way, you know, we're not necessarily taught that. We don't see that it's something to keep, you know, I use the word reinvesting in, and it's something that we need to keep reinvesting in. So, you know, what can happen is we take things for granted and they slowly dwindle and we're like, oh, what happened there? You know, we were so close and having so much fun. You know, and I've talked to people about this, you know, in newer relationships or longer term relationships. Of course, they're both different, but there's still that desire for closeness and intimacy, you know, and feeling connected to your partner, you know, because the truth of it is ultimately we all want to feel seen, feel heard and feel loved, right? I mean, I'm sure, and I certainly know that I feel great when I'm seen, heard and feel loved. And, you know, I'm sure that you feel the same. And it's through, you know, relationships, that's one of the greatest vehicles that is available to us to have that experience. You know, and today I'm going to be specifically talking about intimate relationships. So that'll be mostly what I'm referring to, so your partner. But a lot of the things I'll be sharing today are completely relevant to all your other relationships, whether we're talking about friendships, whether we're talking about colleagues at work that you form, you know, relationships with. I mean, I am lucky to have the most incredible connection of friends. I've got friends all over the world. And, you know, they have been an incredible sustaining and support and sense of joy, laughter and fun, you know, over my lifetime. So, you know, and they're things that I have really spent time on. You know, I stay in touch with people, you know, and likewise, and they check in. So, you know, relationships can bring us such delight, I have to say. And as I said, one of the things that we can kind of get in the way is that we take it for granted, or, you know, we fall into, you know, ruts, so to speak. You know, and we can also just kind of be really blunt. And I mean, I've seen myself do this. you know, I might perhaps try and be a little bit nicer or a little bit more polite. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm generally polite. But, you know, when he was you, so my dad's visiting at the moment, you know, and we're very direct in a loving way, but we are. And, you know, so sometimes I have to think about like, oh, you know, have I actually, am I really appreciating my dad? You know, which is what we're going to come to next. So we're talking about reconnecting with those fuzzy feelings. You know, some of the ways that we can kind of lose that feeling is through distance, through not really, you know, looking at a partner, recognizing them, and kind of just letting things slide, I suppose you could say. But ultimately, we all want to feel loved. And so one of the greatest things that we can do here is around using like gratitude and appreciation for our partners. So, I mean, I've talked about this before, but it's an interesting thing. Our brains, I mean, they are a wonderful tool, but sometimes they really are pains. I'll agree with you. But sometimes, you know, our brains are taught, like the patterns in our brains, what they actually look for is what's wrong. So, you know, you might nitpick your partner about, oh, you didn't put the rubbish out, or, you know, you're not making this very easy for me because you're a detail person and I'm a big picture person. You know, oh, I don't want to go and spend time with your in-laws because, you know, they're mean to me. You know, there's lots of really annoying things, you know, around this, you know, when we're in relationship, and that's kind of very, very normal. But what we want to try and do is really spend our time focusing as much as we can on what we really appreciate and have gratitude for our partner. And I mean, have a think for a second. How often do you say nice things to your partner, you know, appreciate them for something they might have done for you, or just marvel at the wonderful human being who you're sharing your life with? I mean, that's kind of the energy that we're looking for here. If we want to be boosting joy in our relationship, is finding the joy that you originally had in that person who's standing by your side. And if it's a new practice for you, one of the great things to use is just literally a very simple gratitude practice. I was watching a video not long ago, a man who kind of works in the field of relationships. He said one of the things he did to transform his relationship, his marriage with his wife, was he started to keep a journal. And every day at the end of the day, he would write, you know, a list of all of the reasons that he was grateful for his wife, that day. And over time, he really noticed the change in the deepening of his feelings, the amount of love that he felt for her, and the intimacy and connection that he experienced in their marriage. So just that simple gratitude practice, focusing on the things he really appreciated about his wife, made a tremendous difference and deepened their relationship immensely. So it's something to really think about if you're in this place right now and you're like, well, I would love to feel more connected and more intimate with my partner. That's one of the very first things that you might want to try, is really connect back to again and refocus on all of the things you love, you admire, and you respect about that person, rather than focusing on, you know, all of the potentially annoying day-to-day things, you know. It's like, what are you really grateful for? What do you see in them as a person that you really like? So that's kind of like a simple gratitude practice to begin with. But then what's really fun is actually sharing it verbally with them. So this is kind of what the first step is. If you think about it in steps in a process, like the first step is gratitude, like actually focusing on what do I love about them or admire or respect about them. And then the second one is actually verbalizing that. If you're someone who likes to hear that thing, hearing from your partner or your friend or your colleague something that they admire and appreciate about you is such a wonderful feeling. Like, it is a real delight, you know, to hear that. I mean, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but like, there are, you know, a lot of people out in the world who appreciate that. They love the acknowledgement. You know, it makes them feel good. So, and what's beautiful about that is you can just do that with your, if you can do that with your partner, how cool is that? That you're sharing love, you're showing something that you appreciate about them, and you'll see the smile, you'll see the spark across their face when you've done that. So it's a really easy win, is I guess what I'm trying to say. So just, you know, have a think about that. So the appreciation is all about, you know, verbally expressing it to them. You know, I was reading, there's a book out there called The Gratitude Diaries. It's by a woman named Janice Kaplan. And she, for a year, decided, I'm going to do an experiment. She's like, I'm going to experiment and do this gratitude practice for an entire year. And I'm going to see, you know, what happens. So The Gratitude Diaries is the book that came out of her year of doing this gratitude practice. And I read a newspaper article that she'd written, and one of the most amazing things that came out of it for her, and not just amazing but surprising, was the impact that it had on her relationship. She actually called it, like, it had the dramatic change in her relationship with her husband. You know, she said it deepened it, it strengthened it, you know, their feelings for each other just became so much stronger. And, you know, she was just so surprised that just that change in focus and the verbal expression was what made the difference. And she just couldn't believe the change in their relationship. So, you know, this stuff really works, my friend, you know. I mean, it's really worth giving this a go. And it's so simple. You know, in practice, like, you might have to just kind of think about it a little bit to begin with, but it's just so powerful when you start to really focus on what you're grateful for in your partner or other relationship in your life and actually express that out loud. One of the anecdotes in her book that really struck me was she wrote, you know, we are more likely to say thank you to the person serving us in a coffee shop than to the person we love most. Now, like, that's crazy, right, people? That is really crazy. So obviously, you know, what I said earlier, you know, it is a thing. We really need to be focusing on, you know, how are we showing up when we are with our partners? You know, are we showing up as people who are sharing appreciation and love and care and compassion and appreciation? Because that's what, you know, that if you're in a place where you're feeling disconnected, that's something that can bring back that closeness. But if you're, you know, already somebody who's like, oh yeah, my relationship's pretty good right now, it's a thing that can make it even more stronger. So really something to think about. So we're talking about, you know, appreciation of our partner. You know, it's one of the ways that we can really grow and reconnect our intimacy and our closeness. So the first thing to do is, you know, if you can start a gratitude practice each day and actually look at, well, what did my partner do, or what is it that I appreciate them? And we're thinking qualities here as well. So it's not just what did they do for you, but like, what are the qualities that I really admire and love about this person? So it's reconnecting to who they are as a person rather than perhaps what they do for you. And then sharing those. So, I mean, you know, give yourself a little challenge. Maybe you want to share like one thing a day with them, for instance. And just remember to start saying thank you, you know, more to your partner than you would to your coffee, your barista. All right. So in a second, we'll be back to talk about more about how to reignite the spark in your relationships after the break.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L, on the Tracy L Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern, and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.
Welcome back to the Give Me the Joy Show. Before the break, we were talking about how to reignite those fuzzy feelings, bring back the love, the care, the intimacy that we can sometimes lose, you know, in relationships just because time and focus and life and things like that. So one of the things we talked about was gratitude and showing appreciation for your loved ones. Honestly, it makes such a massive difference. So just, you know, simple thing, give it a whirl. So what I want to talk about now is a concept I love sharing. It's called we've got to fill the love tank. So I definitely said tank, so T-A-N-K. So we need to fill our love tanks. So you can think of this just like a fuel tank in a car. So if or maybe the gas tank, maybe you might think of it as a gas tank in the car. So it's like, you know, you go to the pump and you fill it up, and of course, you know, once it's full and the car runs. But of course, if you get to empty, the car stops, doesn't it? It doesn't have any fuel to run on again. And it's very similar when we're talking about, you know, relationships. We have to make sure our love tank is filled up, you know, because as everybody's experienced, you've experienced it, you know, I've experienced it, you know, relationships aren't always smooth, are they? You know, look, we have really great times and then we have rocky times, you know, and it might be that the relationship itself isn't, you know, is having some difficulty, or there are external things going on like redundancy, or somebody in the family might pass away. You know, there's lots of things that can buffet, you know, a relationship. But when it's really strong, when you guys are really connected, when the intimacy is there, you know, you can weather these things so much better. You know, one of the things I always say about when I'm in relationship is, you know, I think about myself as a team, you know, we're, you know, and that's kind of always the thing that I think about. You know, do we feel like a team? Are we in this together? Are we sharing this experience together? And it's amazing, you know, the closeness you can feel when you're making sure you're filling that love tank and adding in the joy. So that, my friend, of course, is where I'm going next with this. So we're talking about filling the love tank. And I've talked about gratitude and appreciation. So now let's get real practical and talk about fun and joy in relationship. At the beginning, it's always easy, isn't it? That's what you do. Like, that's the whole dating period thing. You go and have fun together. You have a laugh and, you know, you explore and, you know, you get to know each other. And so that's just a really naturally fun, that's time. And then, you know, as relationships go on and things progress, naturally, you know, things can get, it's not as much about fun anymore as kind of doing life together. Not to say that fun isn't involved there, by the way, just that, you know, it's not necessarily the straight up focus all the time. But this is such a fun way to bring the joy and the love back into your relationship. You know, just because, you know, you've got a few years or many years under your belt, you know, in a relationship. Like, my parents have been married 44 years, I think, you know, and they still go out and do fun things together. I mean, sure, not as much as they did when they were dating, but, you know, they still do. because it's so important. Like, you know, when you think about back to the beginning of your relationship, you choose your partner and you're like, oh, yeah, I really like doing that with them. And I like, you know, this is fun too. So there's no reason that can't continue, guys. You know, I know life can get in the way. I totally understand that. But it's about what are we prioritizing? And this is kind of one of the things it really comes down to. When I got a client right now, and we've talked about this a lot, because one of the things that she came to me with was, you know, I'm not feeling the intimacy that we used to when we first got married, and, you know, I'm not really sure how to rekindle that. And then one of the first things I said to her was, how much time are you, and they've got a small child, and I said, how much time are you guys actually spending together, you know, outside the house or even in the house if that's the only option, but just the two of you having some quality time? You know, and she was a bit stumped for a second. And I understand when you've got young kids, you know, it's really difficult. But it's like, what are you prioritizing? It's recognizing that that is so fundamentally important, that connection you guys have to everything else. You know, it's to how you cope with what goes on outside of life. It's how you cope when you've got young kids. You know, having that connection, as I said, is what gets you through. So what fun things are you doing? What stuff in common do you have with your partner? You know, and how often are you putting those into your schedule? You know, and again, I totally understand. I haven't had kids, and so I have seen my friends. I tell you, I can see the juggle that it is between, you know, between the family obligations, but also, you know, obviously wanting to maintain your relationship. I really admire a friend of mine, actually. She does the balance in that way so well. You know, she is a dedicated mum, and I really appreciate, you know, how she goes about life. But she knows that her and her husband, they always need that reconnection in some way. So twice a year, for instance, like she and he will have a staycation. Sorry, not a staycation. They go away for the weekend. You know, and she'll get one of the family members to look after the kids and they go away. And, you know, she said to me, it's literally they might have 24, you know, if they're lucky, 48 hours together. But she said just having that time away from the kids so that he and I can focus on each other, you know, kind of catch up, talk about things and have fun. You know, they'll go walking in London, they go to a movie, they just spend some really fun quality time together. And she said, like, you know, that tides us over for ages. It's such a beautiful thing, because she says to me, she's like, I'll speak to her after the weekend. She's like, oh, I'm feeling so loved up right now, Lynn. It's so beautiful. And every relationship's going to be different. Like, she knows that they've been married for like 10 years. So she knows that that's what works for them. So it's really figuring out for you, like, what works for you and your partner? Like, what, and, you know, I'm a list. I love making a list. So it's like having to think about, you know, if you were to sit there and write a list of the top five things you and your partner love to do together, what would they be? Like, do you know? Could you tell me if I asked you right now? And if not, go away and have a think about it. And then, of course, the next step is, how often are you putting those in the diary? That's the really important thing. I mean, are you prioritizing, you know, this whole idea of filling the love tank with your partner? And it can be so much fun. You know, I'm a joy coach. Like, this is my ballpark. I'm like, right, you know, what can we do? Can we go to the cinema? Can we go for a walk in nature? You know, can we watch a box set on the Netflix? I do love a box set on the Netflix. And yeah, there's so many things out there. Like, do you guys like visiting an art show, an exhibition of some sort, or going for a weekend away, or just literally going for a walk down by the river or in the park or whatever's nearby you and hold hands? You know, there are just so many things. It doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be expensive. It is just about you two connecting and enjoying each other's company. So what does that look like for you guys? What, you know, what do you know in your experience fills up your love tank? Because, as I said, that's what will get you through. So if you're not sure, you know, go and grab yourself a journal and a pen at some point and just write down what are the top three things perhaps that you guys like to do together. You know, whether that's just fun things or things you have in common. And then, you know, I am a coach after all. So then I'll be like, right, okay, when are you going to put that next date night in the diary? And guys, like, it's regularity, little and often, little and often. That's my motto for joy. That's my motto for life. Okay. So just little and often can really, I think of it like compound interest, okay? So it doesn't have to be, as I said, extravagant. It's more about, you know, what can I do every day? So I did give you a simple tip earlier about appreciation, like that's a little drop in the bucket, but it goes a long way. And then it's about some quality time, you know, what can you guys do together? So that you can have that closeness, the intimacy, and keep your love tank filled for all of those times when, you know, life doesn't go to plan, when your partner is stressed at work and, you know, you might need to pick up some slack at home. So, you know, doing that is a huge, you know, well, I would encourage you to make it a huge priority. So definitely give that one a whirl. And I would love to hear. So, I mean, if you're listening to this and you've, I'd love to hear what your ideas are. So do feel free to email me at hello@lynhord.com and let me know, like, what you're going to try. And my last little tip on this one is get really curious. So as I said, my parents have been married 44 years, but they still learn new things about each other. And if you are having difficulty at any point in time, my best tip is to be curious. Be curious about, you know, who you're with. So, I mean, you were talking about your partner. You know, who are they? Like, what are they interested in? What makes them tick? And you'll know a lot of this stuff, but there's always a new facet, I believe, to uncover about the people around you. So just get curious and go, oh, you know, what do I not know about you? It makes it really fun as well. So you could do this together, you know, in terms of filling the love tank. It's a really fun thing to do together. And you know, if you can bring the concept to your partner and go, hey, you know, how about we do this? And it can be really fun to, you know, play with that and experiment together. So we've been talking about filling the love tank. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about something that's really, it's a really big, slightly controversial thing when it comes to relationships. So we'll get to that after the break. See you in a minute.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit seattlehealinghypnosis.com for more information.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at tracylclark.com. Hey gang, welcome back. It is Lynn Horde and you're listening to Gimme the Joy. So today, as we've been talking about how to put that spark or reignite the spark in your relationships. And because we're talking about that, actually today I wanted to give away a 45-minute relationship coaching session. So if you would like that, you just have to call in or email. So the number you need to call is 800-930-2819, or you can go to transformationtalkradio.com, and on the right-hand side of the homepage there is a box. You can just put your name and your email address in there, and the first person to call in or email in will get that 45-minute coaching session. So if you're someone who wants some tools and strategies to reignite the spark in your relationship, I'd get on that. Give us a call or email and you could, and I'll be in touch if you are the person who won that session. Okay, so I want to talk about something that you may or may not know. And this relates to joy and happiness in relationships. And I'll be straight with you. And what I need to say on this one is the person who is ultimately responsible for your happiness in a relationship is you. Now, you may know that already, but there is quite a cultural perception out there in the world that, you know, you can hear it in the phrase, like, you complete me, I'm getting my other half, you know, I'm calling my other half. There's a lot of perception out there that when we are in relationship with a love partner, then we are complete, then we are whole, because that is the route to happiness. Now, I 100% believe and know that being in a fulfilling, loving relationship is incredibly satisfying, and it is a beautiful thing. It is an absolutely beautiful thing. But, you know, what I want to really kind of be clear about today is that person is not going to make you happy. They're not responsible for making you happy. That is your job, okay? So, because, I mean, you know, you may have said it before and you've learnt better now, or you may still be thinking that, you know, we often expect or hope that the partner will understand, you know, what we want. You know, they'll understand what we need and they'll give it to us. You know, we kind of, you know, and I certainly did when I was younger. Like, so I'm not ruling myself out of this. I've just done a lot of learning about relationships, you know. But when I was younger, I was like, oh, I just wish that, you know, the right person for me will understand me and I'll be happy. You know, they will be able to meet my expectations without me even having to open my mouth, right? So they will have a crystal ball, or they'll have a psychic connection to my brain, and they would just immediately know what I need and be able to give it to me. I know I'm being slightly flippant at the moment. I know we're not normally that bad, but you know, we can actually slip into that quite a lot. You know, and even people who understand, you know, that they are responsible for it, you know, it's still really difficult for us because there's a lot of lessons that we haven't learnt about how to understand our own needs and how to ask for those needs. So that's what we're going to be talking about next. So in terms of creating your own joy and your own happiness within relationship, with a partner, is, you know, some of the fundamentals, and I always generally have to start in this place when I'm working with clients on this kind of topic, is I need to kind of help them get clear on what are their needs, you know, what are their needs that they feel aren't getting met. You know, so as an example, one of mine was one of my clients recently was around, you know, I'm not getting, you know, the one-to-one attention, or I'm not getting not feeling the intimacy. And I said to her, okay, so what is it that you specifically need from your partner?
And yes, we got down to some real specifics. You know, she was like, okay, well, I would really love us to spend some more quality time together. You know, I'd really love it if he wasn't on his phone when we're trying to have a conversation. You know, a couple of other things in there. And I said to her, okay, so that's great. We've got into the specifics, but have you specifically said those things and asked your husband to behave differently? And she's like, no. So that's the next thing that we really need to have a look at. So first thing, do you know what you need to feel joyful and happy in a relationship? So this, again, it's a tricky thing because there are two parts in here, of course. There's you. So what do you need as an individual to feel joy and to feel happy? So there's an immense amount that we can do as individuals to meet our own needs and make us feel happy. And, of course, when we're in relationship with somebody, it's like, well, what do we need or what would we desire from them in relationship? So there, you kind of need to understand both of those things in terms of your needs. So hopefully that makes sense so far. So then the second thing is asking for what you need. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that this is hard for most of us. I get it. I've had to learn this skill and I still sometimes struggle with it a lot. Especially when it makes you feel vulnerable, when you're asking for an emotional need to be met by somebody. You know, I totally get that. That is not necessarily an easy thing for us to do because, you know, most of us don't necessarily like to feel vulnerable, so I really get it. But what I also know, having, you know, put myself in those situations and asked for what I need, is that it's the route to my own joy and happiness. And that doesn't mean that those needs get met, by the way. So we're all adults here, okay? We know that sometimes when we ask for what we need, it doesn't get met. And that's okay. That's okay because there are many ways to get your needs met and it doesn't necessarily need to be by your partner. And one of the things often when we're asking for an emotional need to be met, we can honestly sometimes meet that need ourselves. So that's kind of like an education piece in there. So, you know, if you're looking for intimacy from your partner and, for instance, you know, they don't give you what you need and you feel rejected, that's really something to go and have a look at because you can meet that deep emotional need. So I won't go into that too much because that's a whole other topic. But, you know, just have a think about that. Try and understand what your needs are. You know, obviously I want you to feel safe when you're asking for, you know, what you want. But then also recognize they may not be able to meet it. Like they may not be physically or emotionally able to meet your need at that time, which was like my friend requiring intimacy because her husband was having a ridiculously stressful time at work. So it wasn't that he didn't want to, you know, necessarily meet her need. He just did not have the capacity for it right at that moment. And, you know, I'm going through a situation myself right now. It's not about relationship, but it's about health stuff. But it's a really interesting thing because for one of the first times in my life, I do not have the emotional capacity that I normally have in my interactions with people. So it's given me a really new perspective on what that's like. When you are just, your life is so, you know, something is you know, so taking your space up. You know, sometimes when you're, you know, that could be a work thing. Like I know people get really stressed at work. You know, it could be a health thing. You know, it could be, you know, someone in your life is, you know, passing away. I'm not sure why I keep using that example today. My apologies. But, you know, there are big things that happen and they take up all our space and energy in terms of what we're capable of. So, you know, so I said that, sorry, as a way of explaining that, you know, people just are not always able to meet our needs. But the really important thing is, first of all, knowing what your needs are, being able to ask for your needs. And then the third thing is to recognize, guys, you know, we've been talking about emotional needs, but there are other needs. And I just want you to know it is not selfish to ask for what you need. This is another really big one I come across a lot. So if we're talking about you being happy, joyous, within relationship, okay, we need to ask for what we want and need, what we desire. And it's really healthy to do that. It's not selfish. Now, you know, for women, often one of the things they'll think about, you know, they often put people in front, you know, before themselves. But ladies, you've got to get in there. You've got to make sure that your needs are met. Okay, and here's the really big reason why here. You cannot give to others unless you have given to yourself first, unless your tanks are full, unless you have energy, unless you're feeling satisfied and fulfilled. It's really hard to give, you know, freely and overflowingly back to those around you. You know, we don't want to – I had to say a friend of mine, a really good phrase is, you know, we don't give to our detriment, you know, so you don't give to a point that keeps depleting you in some way, whether that's spiritually, energetically or emotionally, right? There has to be a balance in there somewhere. You need to keep replenishing yourself in some way in order to be able to show up as your best self, your best, you know, whether you're your best girlfriend, best boyfriend, best wife, husband, employee. I mean, this is a much bigger picture here. So we're talking about in relationship, but if your needs aren't getting met, and, you know, there are many different ways you can talk about needs. So we've talked about emotional needs, but we could also talk about self-care needs. Things like, you know, sleep, getting good food, moving your body, spending time with people who fill you up and nourish your soul, for instance. You know, time alone. I'm an introvert, so introvert, ambivert. You know, so I know I need time alone, you know, after I've had time with lots of people. I know I need that. You know, everybody needs some form of rest and relaxation. And what does that look like for you? And can you ask for it? One of my clients emailed me. She's like, Lynn, she's like, oh, my gosh, I spent all weekend, you know, doing things for my husband and my kids. And I got to the end of it. She's like, I felt really depleted. And it was very funny because at the end of that email, she actually said, oh, I realize what's happened. I didn't actually ask for what I needed and get those needs met. No worries. I'll go and sort that out. It was a beautiful thing because she figured out exactly what had happened. So really think about that, guys. What are your needs, whether they're physical, emotional, you know, what are they? You know, how well do you ask for them? How can you ask for them? And start making that a practice, because that's a way you can be responsible. You can take responsibility for your own joy and happiness in your relationships. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break and I'm going to be back for the fun finale. I'll see you in a second.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst?
Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, Navigating Through Life's Transitions with Shelley Ryan, the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Give Me the Joy show. Today we are talking about how to reignite the spark in your relationship. So this segment, I just love talking about this. So we're going to be talking about love languages. Have you guys heard about love languages? I tell you what, the first time I found out about love languages, it was absolutely revelatory. I was like, wow, that's an amazing thing. So if your ears have pricked up at the idea of love languages, I can send you to a fantastic resource straight off. This is where I learned about it. It's a book called The Five Love Languages, written by a psychologist called Gary Chapman. And it is really an extraordinary thing, if you haven't come across this before, to discover that there are different ways of giving and receiving love. Who'd have thought it? I just had no idea. I came across this book maybe, it might be 8 years ago now. It's been a while. And whenever a client or a friend or anyone I know, you know, starts to talk to me or ask me questions about relationships, the first thing I will say to them is like, do you know about the five love languages? And every time someone, I introduce it to somebody, they're like, oh, Lynn, that was just such a great thing. So this guy, Gary, he spent years being a marriage counsellor and relationship counsellor. And, you know, he had a practice for well over a decade and he started to see the patterns. You know, he could see specific patterns that were causing relationships to get into trouble. And, you know, he coined the five love languages and recognised that this was a real thing. So just real quickly, you know, if you're interested, I'll share what those five love languages are, because then just have a listen for, you know, which one you might be. So we have a primary love language and a secondary one. So you might be able to figure that out for yourself, and I'll tell you what mine is afterwards. So the first one is words of affirmation. So it's things like verbal compliments, outward expressions of feeling. So it's, you know, using words to affirm and acknowledge. The second one is quality time. So that's one-to-one time, you know, giving somebody your undivided attention, focus, and time to get togetherness, really. The third one is gift giving or receiving gifts. And so, you know, it's buying your flowers and your chocolates or little things out of the blue. They're kind of like gifts are visual symbols of love. You can think about it that way. The fourth one is acts of service. So somebody who might cook for you or offer to take you somewhere, someone who keeps the house, you know, nice, picks up your dry cleaning, you know, acts of service. It could be obviously people doing things at work or friends as well. And the fifth one is physical touch. So affection, you know, massage, and of course sex is in there as well. So there's the top five. And, you know, we're a mix of them, you know, so it's not like you're one and you're not the other. There's a mix. But I tell you what, it's so helpful when you understand. So my top two are, I'm a quality time girl. My friends all know this. I am a quality time girl. My favorite thing is spending time with my friends and getting to have, you know, deep and meaningful or conversations or just doing something fun together, you know, having, you know, enjoying life. And it was really funny, although you might, you know, I kind of, you know, knew that that was something that I enjoyed, and it never really, until I read the book, I was like, oh, that's why that's so important to me. And it also helped me understand when I couldn't see a friend of mine, you know, over a period of time, why that bothered me so much. And now I get it. So that's kind of the other flip side. And I tell you what, I used this once with a boyfriend of mine because he was an acts of service guy and I, of course, am a quality time girl. So he, you know, would, you know, if we were at his house, for instance, he might be cooking and he might take a phone call. He might, you know, put out the trash and go and sort out the shed, you know, all while I'm sitting there, hope, you know, going, oh, I'd really like to just sit down and have a talk to you right now, you know, and it caused friction in our relationship. And eventually it twigged. I'd read the book, but I just hadn't put two and two together at this point in our relationship. And I was like, oh, I see what's happening here. Because I remember bringing in the helping him bring in a whole bunch of stuff from his car one time, and he was just so grateful. And I was like, oh, it's because I've just done an act of service, and that's how you receive love. So it really is revelatory. You know, and I worked out my mum, she's a gift giver. You know, so one of the ways that she shows incredible amounts of gifts is she sews things. She's a really amazing, talented sewer. And, you know, so she's made me these beautiful blankets, and that is her way of showing me love. So when I receive those presents, I know that that is my mum showing her love in one of the biggest ways that she enjoys giving, giving love. So in the bigger context of our conversation today, the reason this is important is because if we don't receive love in the same, if we don't receive love in the same way we like to give it, we can actually never feel fully loved. There's always a part of us that will question if the person in our life truly loves us. I'm sure you might have experienced that at some point. So it might not be with your partner, but it may be with a friend. There's always that underlying niggle. You know, it's like, oh, do they, the underlying niggle of, you know, do they really, you know, really, really love me? And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to discover in this book from Gary Chapman that the reason for that is because your partner is showing you love in a way that is not normal for you to receive. So that's why this is so important. So if we're wanting to have our partner experience, you know, the full capacity of our love, it's really worth us learning how is it that they receive. And it can be super fun because in the back of the book, so the five love languages, in the back of the book, there's actually a questionnaire that you can fill out to help you understand which is your primary love language and your secondary one. So I'd highly recommend that if this is resonating with you right now, because amazing the other things you can really learn about it too. And if you have it, and one of the things I talk about a lot with my friends in their relationships is, obviously, men and women communicate in different ways. So it's really, in the book aside, it's really worth kind of learning about the different ways that we can communicate. So one of my favorite ones is my friend says to me, she's like, Lynn, I try and have a conversation with my boyfriend, but what happens is, you know, he'll be on his phone or he's off doing a thing. She's like, you know, I can't have that, you know, one-to-one time. And I said, and I'd seen this pattern, like a lot of people had kept saying this to me. And I said, what's the thing, have a think back to what are the times when you've actually been able to have a proper conversation with your partner, but not necessarily in the way that you would normally, like, you know, she and I would sit down, look at each other, you know, deep into each other's eyes and, you know, share what's going on. I was like, so you might not do that with your boyfriend, but what do you do? And she had to sit there and think for a second. She's like, oh, you know what? When we have our greatest conversations when we're driving in the car. And she was like, oh, and since then, now that she knows that, if she's got an important or particularly difficult conversation to have, because her boyfriend does a lot of driving, so he's, you know, just easily drives and talks at the same time. And she's like, oh, I just wait till we're in the car now and I bring it up, because for him it's like he's doing something else, but then he can really listen. It's really interesting. It's like paying attention to how does your partner kind of receive and have those communications the best. Another friend of mine, you know, kind of twigged. She's like, oh, we need to walk side by side. So they'll go out for a walk, you know, they're shoulder to shoulder, and you know, they have their conversations easier that way, because you're kind of doing something whilst having those potentially difficult or deep conversations. Anyway, so it's just a piece I wanted to add in there around communication, because how we communicate and ensuring that we communicate with kind of compassion and love and care and kindness for our partner is a really crucial piece in this whole, you know, it's like we can be so harsh sometimes out in the world. We can blame, we can communicate with blame or shame. And it's a real thing for me. I really want to, you know, kind of have an education out there around it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I know you're frustrated. You know we can be frustrated and the people closest to us can really push our buttons. I totally understand that. But these are the people in your life for the long haul. So I'd really encourage you to, you know, take a breath. You know, if you find yourself sometimes, you know, kind of lashing out verbally or kind of blaming your partner or kind of making them responsible for your emotions, I really just want you to take a pause. You know, acknowledge the feelings. I know, you know, I've been there. I totally get it. You know, anger and frustration, all of those things can come up. But just take a breath. You know, just take that higher perspective for a minute if you can. And remember, this is a person you love who loves you. So they really, you do your best to honor that love and that care for that person with, you know, gentle compassion, kindness in your communication. That doesn't mean you can't be direct, but you can certainly still be kind and compassionate along the way. So this, I love this topic. Thanks so much, guys, for listening today. It is a topic close to my heart because, you know, I really believe we can find so much joy and happiness through our intimate relationships and all of our relationships. So I hope some of what I've shared today has been useful for you. And you're able to, you know, I would love to hear. So you can join me in my Facebook group, which is called Give Me the Joy. If you've got a thought or a comment or a question, you can join me up over there. So thanks so much for joining me today and tuning in to Give Me the Joy. I'm here every second and fourth Thursday of the month, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. UK time. So hopefully you can join me again soon. And until then, follow your joy, my friend. It will show you the way. Take care and bye for now. Thank you so much for listening to the Gimme the Joy show, which airs every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. In this hit show, I share very practical, very grounded, and not to mention fun ways to reconnect with joy in your life, work, and relationships. As a certified coach and facilitator, I support individuals and businesses to harness the power of joy to create positive, lasting change in all areas. For more information or to listen to the show, visit lynnhord.com.